Joining us now for more is Wendy Chamberlain. She served as U.S. ambassador to Pakistan from 2001 to 2002, and she's now the president of the Middle East Institute. Wendy Chamberlain, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hidden in plain sight. This is how President Obama's chief counterterrorism advisor described the bin Laden compound. First of all, any doubts in your mind that some officials in Pakistan's intelligence apparatus knew where he was?
It's hard to believe that somebody didn't know. You know, the U.S.-Pakistan relationship is one of the most complex relationships that we have in the whole constellation of diplomatic relations.
And we're learning more about the complexity now.
We sure are. When it's good, it's very, very good. And when it's bad, it's really horrid. And it is simultaneously cooperative and beneficial to both of us, and at the same time, harmful to our interests.
Part of Pakistan works and cooperates with the U.S. military and intelligence community. Part of it undermines it. I don't know if that's overly simplistic, but what do you believe that Americans do not understand about, as I say, what appears to be duplicitous behavior by Pakistan?
Well, I think what we don't understand is it's not parts that work with us and parts that don't. It's the same part, and it operates simultaneously. For example, let's take the military. It provides intelligence. It provides counterterrorism cooperation. At the same time, the same army will support groups within Pakistan that we consider terrorist groups. So we have points where we wreak enormous cooperation from them, and at the same time, they operate against our interests.
Okay, but how do you explain that? I mean, when you were the ambassador in Pakistan and you asked officials, what were their answers?
I was there at a very special moment. When I arrived in Pakistan, I think in August of 2001, about a month before September 11, it was perhaps the worst period in our relationship. Of course, a month later, I was sent in on September 13 to speak to then General Musharraf. And what I said was, are you with us or are you against us? Now, look, I know you're with us. It's in your interest. What can we do together? General Musharraf agreed to support us unstintingly in the fight against al-Qaeda and the search for Osama bin Laden. On our part, we lifted sanctions, we provided aid. Now, that was a point in history where we renegotiated our relationship. It's been 10 years. That relationship and the distrust has begun to build up again. Clearly, we don't feel that that has been an unstinting commitment to fight al-Qaeda. This makes this another point in history where we now need to sit down together, renegotiate our relationship so it's done on very clear lines.
Why, in your view, is it more beneficial to maintain an alliance or a relationship with Pakistan rather than just abandoning it?
Oh, I think it's extremely dangerous to U.S. long-term interests. This is an important relationship for both of us for a number of reasons. On our part, Pakistan is a nuclear-armed state, and we need it for successful efforts in Afghanistan. And we need to be successful in Afghanistan primarily for the stability of Pakistan.
It appears, if in fact it is true, that the Pakistanis did not know about this bin Laden operation in advance. It appears as if the trust between the United States and Pakistan has essentially collapsed. How do you begin to rebuild that trust?
This is what I'd tell the Pakistanis. We're fighting a common enemy, al-Qaeda. We would expect public statements from the military that debunk some of the wildest conspiracy theories that are put out there, such as all the terrorism problems in Pakistan are really the result of America's war on terror in Afghanistan. That's simply not true. And to debunk the conspiracy theory that there is an Indian-Israeli-American plot to destabilize Pakistan.
This is widely believed in Pakistan?
Widely believed, and although I can't prove it, many analysts say is actually encouraged by military elites in order to have an anti-American public so that it can come to us and say, you have to deal with us and only us because our people hate you so much.
It sounds like we're in a bit of a trap.
We're always in a trap. I mean, there's nothing ever easy about diplomacy, and that's why we deploy the very best Foreign Service officers abroad as we possibly can.
That's Wendy Chamberlain. She's the former ambassador to Pakistan and is now the president of the Middle East Institute here in Washington, D.C. Ambassador Chamberlain, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey, a Democrat, chairs the subcommittee that oversees U.S. policy toward Pakistan, and he says the relationship between Washington and Islamabad is complicated but vital.
There's no question that there's been good cooperation and the sharing of intelligence that leads to good results on counterterrorism. Unfortunately, the trust between our two countries is not where it needs to be, and I also have real concerns about what happened in light of the killing of Osama bin Laden, how he could be in a neighborhood in full view of the military and no one passed that information on or took action against him or helped us take action against him.
So my assumption is that you do not take the Pakistani government's word that none of its officials were aware he was in their country.
I can't accept that at face value. Based upon the work that I've done as a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, chairman of the subcommittee, in studying these issues for the last 4 years, I have real doubts about the credibility of that kind of a statement. But that doesn't mean that we don't probe it further and try to get a better sense of that answer that they're providing.
Now, explain this to our listeners. If there is a fundamental gap in trust, why does the United States continue to send Pakistan $3 billion a year in aid? What does the U.S. get out of that?
The basic reason why we have to engage with Pakistan is because that country is central to the policy that's underway in Afghanistan, where we have fighting men and women on the ground. It would be easy just to say, well, we should just break off this relationship. We don't fully trust them. We're giving them money. We're not getting a return. But if you have to be concerned about national security, as I do, you have to figure out a way to make this work.
Senator Casey, as you know, Pakistan's top military official says he would not tolerate another covert U.S. mission in his country without prior approval. In your view, if the U.S. discovered that another top al-Qaeda leader were in Pakistan, would it make sense to notify the Pakistanis first, or would it be better to go in without doing that?
I would support the way that this mission unfolded. Now, if the relationship gets better and we have more confidence that that information would not be leaked or passed on to our enemies, then I'd feel better about that. But I think if we had to make that decision today, I'd vote for going in. But you know what? Maybe the spotlight on this will cause us to have a better relationship. Maybe more of this will be out in the open, and it's not just the American people scratching their head saying, why didn't you know bin Laden was in the neighborhood, but governments around the world saying, hey, Pakistan, why aren't you providing more help when it comes to getting the intelligence that would lead to this? So maybe if there is another al-Qaeda top leader or another terrorist that we're trying to deal with, maybe the result of all this will be they'll work more closely with us and share intelligence better. But I think we can't just hope for that. We have to push and push and push.
That's Democratic Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania. He's chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee that oversees U.S. foreign policy towards Pakistan. Senator, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.